birds. And they were roosting up there. I thought, my goodness, we got turkeys in my neighborhood, or in my mom's neighborhood. Now, you have to understand this. My mom's house is here. There's a house across the street. There's a little grove of trees, and then another house right there, and then a house right behind it. So, I mean, we're talking about a little grove about as big as this sanctuary right here. But in the midst of these trees are a bunch of birds. Well, Tuesday I went over there to do some work, you know, try to get everything cleared out. We're trying to get rid of that house. And I noticed those birds weren't in the trees. Now, they're circling around the trees. Buzzards. Buzzards. Never seen that before in our neighborhood. But I remembered that Mom had told me that in the last, you know, before she passed away, she said, I've noticed that our area has become the roost of a bunch of birds. She didn't know what they were. And come to find out, they're buzzards. Well, I noticed something also at my house that I haven't noticed the last few years, and that is an abundance of crows. Well, that same day I was over at my mom's house, my sister was there, and she got to talk, and she said, you know what? Just out of the blue. She said, I don't know that I've ever seen as many crows this year as I have since we lived over there in that area. She lives in Thickety. My, that just got me thinking. Here's an abundance of buzzards in a place where they are never seen. Here's a bunch of crows that I never see that many crows. Blackbirds. I'm telling you, our yard sometimes is so covered up with blackbirds that it looks like a blanket. I don't know that I've ever seen so many birds. But it got me to thinking. And God gave me a thought on that in Revelation chapter number 19. I want you to notice verse number 17. Now, we know this is the battle of Armageddon. We understand what's going to take place right here, but listen to what the Bible says. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice. Now, I find that interesting that here's an angel standing in the sun. Now, I looked that word in up. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's standing in the sun, because that word means it can be by, beside, or around, or in front of. So it's possible what God's trying to get us to understand is that he's put this angel in a place where everybody can see him. When you look up at the sun, everybody, every one of us were to walk out there, every one of us would see the sun. So now, amen, everybody in that area right here, when they look up, they see this angel in the sun. So God's put him in a place where he can be seen. God's put him in a place where he can be heard. Now, here's the unusual thing about it. The Bible says he cries with a loud voice. The thing is, Brother Brian, he's not talking. He's not talking to the beast and the armies that's gathered against our Lord. He's not talking to the, amen, the remnant that may be there to watch what's going on. No, as a matter of fact, he's not even talking to one human being on the planet. Instead, the Bible says that he's crying to the fowls of heaven. Yeah, preacher, what's that got to do with us? Just hold on. Hey, man, think about that. Now look what it says. Saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven. Now notice that he said all the fowls. This is every bird of prey that you can think of. Do you know I went fishing last year, and every time I went fishing and we saw an eagle, this is in the West Fork up toward, I think that's what, yeah, isn't it West Fork that comes out of Lake Logan? Prettiest thing you ever did see, him and his mate. That's a rarity. And that thing, Brother Brian, would come down that, it'd fly down the river. And I mean, I could reach up and just about grab it. Wasn't afraid of me. And it wouldn't be long. Here he'd come right back up the river. Flying the same way, just as low. I guess he's out hunting. Go to the other fork, fish up the East Fork, see him again. We drive down the road the other day, and there's hawks all over the, some sitting on the light pole, isn't that right? I'm seeing more and more of these birds of prey. One of these days, there's not going to be a bird of prey left in the world because they're all going to be called to one place. I'm convinced of this. When God Almighty sends that angel into the sun for the invitation for them to come and gather, I'm convinced that every bird of prey that God ever put on this planet will be there at that time. Now watch what he says. Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Now watch. That ye, he's still talking to the birds, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse against his army. Now think about that. God Almighty sends this angel, amen, to give this invitation while the beast and his army are gathering against it before the war ever starts. Now, I'm telling you what I'm inclined to believe. That there in that valley of Megiddo, where the beast and his armies are gathered, they're seeing the sun. And I'm convinced that they hear what this angel's saying to these beasts. Now, you may not believe that. That's all right. I can't prove it, but you can't disprove it. As soon as the invitation is given, the first thing John sees is the beast and the army and his army. I'm convinced the God of heaven is putting fear in their hearts. Now watch. It don't end there. And the beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that have received the mark of the beast, them that worshiped his image. And see, a lot of people believe that the tribulation period, the devil's just going to go crazy and curse everything and judge everything. I got news for you. That's not his job. The devil's not the one doing the damage in the tribulation. You know what his job is? To deceive. His job just to win that crowd to himself. Says it right there. He deceived them with the mark of the beast. You know who's causing all this destruction? You know who's causing all this judgment? You know who's meeting out, amen? Hey, who it is that's going to try the winepress of the wrath of Almighty God? Hey, it's God that's putting out all the judgment during the tribulation. They ain't fighting the devil. They're fighting against God Almighty, amen. Now watch this, watch this. He said, these bulls were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And get this last verse, here it is. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. I'm preaching tonight on this thought on the feast of the fowls. Now, I've done tore my outline all to pieces. I don't even know where to begin, to be honest with you. But if you look through your Bible, you will find out throughout the Bible, God uses birds of prey in a particular way. Amen. They play a specific role in the Bible, and even especially here in the end times. You remember when David and Goliath had their little conflict? Goliath walked out there with all his pomp and all his pride, and he said, "You know what, young boy? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give your flesh to the fowls of the air and the beast of the field." You know what David said? Man, I'm telling you, this will bless your heart. David said, yep, and I'm going to give the carcasses of the host. He said, not only am I going to give them yours, I'm going to give them everybody else's too. Ha! Glory to God. Not to be outdone. You're talking about giving my flesh. Well, hey, I'm going to better you. I'm going to give yours and everybody else's. You know what David said? To the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. You find in the book of Jeremiah five different times where it talked about, amen, God was going to give his own people up to the fowls of heaven. Throughout this Bible, you will find that God used, the fowls of the air or the fowls of heaven. Psalm 79:2 tells us that the dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven. How about that? Amen. Matthew 24:28, Jesus said, for wheresoever the carcasses are, there will the eagles be gathered. Of course, we know Matthew 24 and 25 are tribulation scriptures. So no doubt in my mind, that's a reference to what we just read. Amen. Chapter 19, one of the greatest chapters in the book of Revelation. I love this chapter because just the way it begins, but not only that, what all it reveals to us. When you break this chapter down, you'll find out in verses 1 through 6, you find the multitudes rejoicing. And the Bible said in verse 1, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for it. Praise the Lord. He said, why were they doing that? Well, it says after these things. And then verse number 2 verifies that. Chapter 17 and 18 are chapters that reveal to us how God has destroyed that harlot, amen, or the whore Babylon, amen. And it's more of a system than it is a city, if you will. Amen? So God has destroyed the world and its system, and now they are rejoicing. Look at verse 2. It said, for true and righteous are his judgments, for he had judged a great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. But that system absolutely despised us. That's what's going on today. Amen. They despised the children of God. Amen. The world was out to kill them. Amen. But God Almighty judged that crowd. Yes. That's what tribulation will do. Right. Of course, you know the main purpose of tribulation is to bring Israel back. Sure. Amen. So here God has destroyed them. So they're rejoicing. This multitude's rejoicing, first of all, over the severity of God. God is love, and everybody knows that, and God is long-suffering, and everybody knows that, but there's going to come a time when the long-suffering of God is over. Yes, sir. That's the way it was in Noah's day, according to Scripture. Yes. that the long suffering of God came to an end. And brother, it's going to come to an end one of these days. Say, preacher, when? I believe right smack dab in the middle of the tribulation. Amen. God Almighty. Amen. During the time of Jacob's trouble, he's saying enough is enough. Amen. I believe first 3.5 years will be peace. First 3.5 years, amen, that Antichrist is going to come on the scene and have the answers to everything. And then one day he's going to go up into the temple and commit the abomination of desolation. He's going to offer up a wicked, ungodly sacrifice. He's going to claim himself to be God. And God's saying, all right, it's on now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. There's going to be a time when God's long suffering is done. And the judgment of God. And you know what the people of God's going to do? Rejoice.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. That's what that means. Amen. Isn't that something? You mentioned that this morning, Brother Brian. Amen. So they rejoice over the severity of God. They rejoice over the sovereignty of God. Now watch it. Verse number 4. Or you can get back to verse 3. And again they said, hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God at that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah, or hallelujah. You know what they're doing? They're rejoicing over the sovereignty of God. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, here's the 24 elders. You know who the 24 elders represent? The church. Go back to chapter number 4. The 24 elders represents us. So think about this now. If that be the case, every time you see them in the book of Revelation, every time the 24 elders are mentioned, you know where they're at? On their face. You know what they're doing? They're worshiping. You know why they're worshiping him? Because they know the only reason they're there is because of grace. It's the sovereign grace of God that even brought them to the party. Not because they were worthy, not because they deserved it, but because God in his grace brought them there. And bro, we see these 4 hallelujahs. They are praising God for his severity on the judgment of those things that were against them. They see rejoicing in the sovereign grace of our God and the very fact that he loved us the way he did and saved us by his grace. They're rejoicing because of his supremacy. Look at verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunder, and saying, what are they saying? Hallelujah. Now, preacher, I don't know, but I believe what John saw was every voice in heaven. He said, I heard, as it were, the voice of great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunders. Can you imagine what he heard? The noise that it must have been. How loud it was in heaven. You know what they were saying? Praise the Lord. You know why they were saying it? For the Lord God Almighty, omnipotent, reigneth. Our God is in control. Amen. Before we get to where we're going, wait a minute, something else has got to happen. And in the very next part of the Revelation, in verse 7 through verse number 10, amen, John sees this. He sees, amen, the marriage is ready. Not only the multitude is rejoicing, but the marriage is ready. Amen. Now note this. Watch this. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. You understand this? Down here, when somebody gets married, the focus is always where? With the bride. Hey, there's going to come a day, amen. It ain't about the bride, hallelujah, because it's all about him, amen. It's about the Lamb of God. Hey, this ain't the marriage of the bride. It's the marriage of the Lamb, amen. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. Our focus will finally be where it ought to be. It'll be on Him. Amen. Glory to God. John said, and they made themselves ready. I believe that's a reference to the judgment seat as much as it is anything else. Because we have to make, amen, I believe that. And then the next, not only are they ready, they're robed. The Bible said they're robed in righteousness. You know why that has to happen? Because Paul told us, said it like this, that he'll present his church without wrinkle or spot. Amen. So John says, hey, you know what? I'm seeing that the marriage is ready. Amen. The bride is robed. Amen. But thank God for that. And then John turns his attention in the next section. I'm trying to get to where I need to go. Amen. In verses 11 through 16. Amen. One of the greatest sections in the Bible. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. We see the multitude rejoicing. We see the marriage ready. But we see the master's return. Amen. In verse 11 through 16, he said, I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Somebody help me right there. Thank God, I'm telling you who they saw. They saw the good God of heaven. Amen. Setting up, amen, the Lord Jesus coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can you imagine how it must have been that day, or it will be that day? Amen. Now just think about what John was seeing. Amen. Here he saw the heavens open. And buddy, I'm going to tell you, he saw that big steed in front. He saw that rider on that big steed. Oh, y'all hear what I'm saying? Dear God, he had eyes that were like flames of fire. But when he looked at you, it burned a hole right through you. He saw, amen, what looked like a sword coming out of his mouth. And man, at first it was just a little bitty dot. And the bit, amen, the more it moved, and the closer it got, the bigger that dot came until eventually, amen, it gets to the place where they can make out the horse because it's big, amen. But all of a sudden, it gets to the place where they just can't see the horse. They can see the rider as well. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that his arm is with him. Yep. And if you didn't know any better, hallelujah, amen. If you don't know, I'm about to tell you. I'm fixing to tell you. Yeah. Amen. The crowd that's with him is dressed in fine linen. Yeah. Same as the bride. Hold on, thank God. There we are in the scripture again. Hallelujah. You don't say up to chapter number 5, you do not see us. But we come back in chapter number 19. There we are. Amen. Thank God. We are riding right behind him. But can I tell you something? There ain't but one person in that army that is, glory to God, there ain't but one person in that army, amen, that has a weapon. There ain't but one person that's armed, and yet we're still called an army. Son, we ain't going to have to fire a shot. We ain't going to have to fling an arrow. We ain't even going to have to blink if we don't want to. As a matter of fact, I'm not so sure that we don't park in the heavens somewhere to watch this thing. Glory! Because the Bible says, with the words of his mouth. Yes. Lord of God, I'm telling you, you say there ain't no power in the word of God. Hold on, Bubba. You remember in John chapter number 18, old Judas brought that bunch of Romans over there with him, and they was going to take control of him, you know. They was going to arrest him and everything else, and they reached out to grab him. Jesus said, just said one word. You know what that crowd did? They fell backwards. Fell on, hey, wasn't I with y'all? Boom, son, they fell out like it wasn't nothing. Hey! That's right. I got that in my notes. Not only, amen, did he create with his word, but he conquers with his word. Amen. Brother, this ain't no simple conflict. Brother, this is the war to end all wars. And God Almighty fights this war himself. Yes. I'm glad, thank God. Hey, look this, the way I read this, Brother Andrew. Amen. There is a moment in time where he begins to look at the beast. And, amen. And so he takes the beast and the false prophet, and he casts them, binds them, throws them in the lake of fire according to the scripture. And then you know what else he does? He goes back and gets the rest of that crowd. Set in the remnant.
Yeah, while we
want. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
glory to God and the Lamb. Amen. Oh. I'm telling you, that's the God we serve. That's the God. Are you hearing me? Amen. That's the God that we get to ride with. Amen. We're going to get to watch him conquer. Amen. The devil and his crowd. Amen. Glory to God. That's right. Amen. Hey, but you know what else he's going to do? He's not just going to establish righteousness in the earth. He's going to establish his throne. Whoa. Now watch this now. John says his vesture's dipped in blood. Now, I've heard some commentators say, well, that's his blood. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe that's God's way of striking fear into them, said, giving them some prophecy. Here's what's about to happen. Because the blood's going to be run bridle deep. And it's on the edges of his vesture. Now, I know that's hard. I'm telling you something. The Bible says it plainly that he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And the Bible also says that, amen, when it runs out, it'll run out bridle deep. Now, think about this. 1,600 furlongs, according to the Bible, over 200 miles. Amen. The average bridle stands somewhere around 5 to 6 foot. He's going to turn that valley into an ocean. So he going to stomp the blood out of that crowd. And aren't you glad you get to sit there and watch him? Whoa, go Jesus, go Jesus. Hey, thank God, go Lord, amen. Hallelujah, that's my God, amen. Whoa, I'm on the winning side, hallelujah.
Thank God, that's right, amen.
Woo, I'm glad, thank God he's faithful and true. Now watch this. You know, the Bible said when he came the first time, he was full of grace and truth. When he come the first time, he shed his blood for sin. Now he's come, he's faithful and true. Faithful to what God Almighty is sending him to do. And true to what God wants him to do. He's not coming to shed his blood. He's coming to shed others' blood. And to set up his kingdom. Hallelujah. 1,000 years he'll reign on the throne of David according to the scripture. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Whoo! Hallelujah. Hey, amen. Now watch this. Everyone who has denied and defied the word of God shall die by the word of God. That very thing that they've rejected will be the very thing that ruins them. Now in verse number 17, our text, we see the meal of the raptors. Or you can call it the mutilation of the remains. Now imagine this now. They've got the invitation, gather. Come and gather, he says to the supper of the great God. And here the beasts gathered around in that valley. Now you ain't going to tell me there ain't some buzzards already floating around there. I can see one of them fellers on the horse up there in the beast army looking over at his buddy and saying, have you ever seen so many birds? What in the world's going on? I don't know if this is right, but it's good preaching. But you know what? If you were sitting on a horse and there was a bunch of buzzards flying around, wouldn't you think, wonder what's dead? I ain't never seen a whole bunch of buzzards that I didn't look up and think. You know, one time I'm running a rabbit for a minute. We had some cows over on Spring Creek, and we went over there. One of them got to missing. Couldn't find. We looked all over the place. Could not find that cow. Found a hole in the fence. No doubt in my mind, that's where that cow went. Couldn't find it. Well, Brian, the next day we got up. We're going to go look again. And the first thing I saw, I pointed out to my dad. I said, "Dad, there's our cow." There must have been 30 or 40 of them. If you'd have shot up amongst them, you'd probably hit three or four of them. I mean, there's so many of them that's flying that close. We got up there, and lo and behold, there it laid. It fell down. It fell down. I don't know how. It tripped, broke its neck, killed it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you see the buzzard circling, the first thing that comes through your mind is, something's dead. And imagine that now, all these birds of prey. And it says all. Circling around the battlefield. You know what they're waiting for? They're waiting for Jesus to do his thing. They've all accepted the invitation to come to supper. Well, I'm telling you, here they are flying around. Boy, can you imagine one of them swooping down? One of them falcons. You ever seen a falcon? Yeah, well, them boys can fly. I guess the girls can too. I don't know. But so you see the invitation, you see the intentions and the instructions. You're going to eat the flesh of kings and captains and mighty men. And horses, feast of the fowls. And then it says, all men. That's the intention. The purpose behind calling all of those fowls to that area is to pick the very thing that has caused them their problem all their life, their flesh. They're going to pick it right off their bones. God's showing us in the Bible what this flesh is worth. God's showing what happens when you live by the flesh and not by the Spirit. Now let me finish this. You see the intention. I see the ingestion. The last part of it, the Bible says, and the fowls were filled with their flesh. They ate till they couldn't eat no more. I bet you there's some of them sitting there on the sidelines thinking, whew, I wish I hadn't ate that much. I'll never get home tonight. I'm gonna have to wait. I'm just kidding. But the pride and pomp of the devil's crowd will fall by the hand of one man. And then all of the fowls of the earth will be gathered together to pluck the flesh off of all that crowd that opposed God. Mm. You know what Isaiah said? Isaiah said it like this. He said the land will be soaked in blood. Now listen, here's basically the message, because this is the way God gave it to me. I said everything I said tonight because it's possible that if there's somebody sitting in this building that's not saved, I just preached about you.
Right.
It's not like the tribulation's 170 years. Seven. And see, here's what's going to happen. I believe the next event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. God's going to rapture the church out. There are going to be some left on the pews of good fundamental churches with King James Bibles in their laps wondering where in the world did everybody else go. And they're going to look for somebody. They're going to try to find a way to, amen, to get right with God. They're going to realize what's took place. And they're going to try their dead level best to see if they can get right. But they don't realize that, hey, you know what? You're condemned. Strong delusion. To believe a lie. Look that up. If you look the word lie up, you will find out that it means this. The liar. In other words, here's what God's saying. You're going to be deceived by the devil. You're going to believe a lie. The devil's going to say, hey, you're all right. I got you. He'll do that to a lot of people for 3.5 years. And then they'll wind up on the back of a horse one day, gathered in the valley of Megiddo to go against a man, or to go against a king, I should say. To go against the Lord. A battle they'll not win. And that crowd will fall at the hand of Almighty God and the fowls of the earth that flew in the heavens will pick the flesh off your bones. I said, preacher, it's quiet in here. Ought to be. We shout about him coming back. And you know why we can shout about that? Because we're part of that crowd. But if you ain't been saved, you know what you're going to be? The feast of the fowls. So if I were you, I'd get that thing nailed down if you ain't got it nailed down. One of these days, God's going to gather every fowl that flieth under the heaven. Are you ready? Hope you are. Let's stand together. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you for everything that you do for us, for the word of God, how it speaks to our heart. Lord, what a happy day it'll be when we get to shout hallelujah and amen on the street of glory, praising and giving our God the glory he deserves. Or to come back with him one day to watch him conquer, watch him set up the kingdom of God and take his place upon the throne of David as it was promised to even to his earthly mother. One of these days, I believe it won't be long, God will be in heaven. We'll watch chapter 19 come to life right in front of us. But Lord, there may be somebody in this building that they're not saved. Lord, if they don't get saved, they'll be invited to a supper, all right, but it won't be the marriage supper of the Lamb. It'll be the supper of the great God.